Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
This is Boxing with Chris Manning.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, as promised, special bonus podcast coming to you from Glendale, Arizona, the site of Sonny Edwards and Bam Rodriguez. Eddie Hearn is going to join me to talk about the Sonny Bam fight. He's going to weigh in on the future of Devin Haney, get into the Saudi Arabia card as well. A lot to get into with Eddie Hearn. And then later, Sonny Edwards himself, the IBF 112-pound champion. He talks about some of the strategies he's got for Saturday against Bam Rodriguez and why he thinks he is the significantly better fighter. Stick around for all that and much more. Eddie Hearn, Sonny Edwards, coming to you now here on the podcast. Well, something special is going down at UFC 296, and DraftKings Sportsbook is helping you come out on top in this epic bout between Colby Covington and Leon Edwards. And over at DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make any bet you want when it comes to this fight. From method of victory to what round it finishes in, DraftKings has everything you need for UFC 296. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code Mannix. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, with code Mannix. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 887-897-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire in 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/MMA for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, Eddie Hearn is here. Matchroom Boxing. We are here in Glendale, Arizona. The weather is warm. The sun is shining. Sonny Edwards got his Phoenix Suns tickets. So
the fight's on.
The fight is on. I got to tell you, Eddie, if you didn't get him those tickets, there's like at least a 25% chance he would have pulled out.
Yeah, but he definitely would have done no media. Like, he would have just gone to the press conference, said nothing. Like, this is a situation where I was in a car with him and we were negotiating the Bam fight. This is like 6 months ago. And he was like, yeah, I'll do it, but don't forget, when I go there, all I want is courtside tickets. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, don't worry, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, we'll work that out. I don't even remember the conversation. And then, obviously, the last week, the message, you know, if we don't get these tickets, it's going to be a problem. And I'm like, we changed venues. We were supposed to be at the arena of the Phoenix Suns. Then we changed to like a rival venue. So now I've got no leverage to get the tickets. Now I'm phoning around. I'm speaking to like resale agents trying to get the best price on two tickets. He's cost me like a few thousand dollars just to give him the tickets, you know? But there you go.
That was on you though, because when we were in Orlando for the kickoff press conference, Sonny knows that I'm also an NBA guy. And he was telling me, he's like, Eddie promised me courtside tickets. Mm. Eddie, this was months ago. So you definitely did that. You stepped in it.
I think I do that a lot. And our team always come to me and say, did you promise X? And I'm like, I can't remember. Probably is the answer.
All right, I want to talk about Sonny and Bam. You've got a massive event next weekend in Saudi Arabia. But I want to look back first on this past weekend. Devin Haney, dominant decision win over Regis Prograis. I want to talk about the event itself. You sold out the Chase Center, more than 16,000 fans in that building, low seven-figure gate for that building. I know you're not going to talk specifics on pay-per-view numbers, but when you look back at the event as a whole, if you had to rate it, like scale from 1 to 10, 1 being a total catastrophe, 1 being a massive success, where would you put it on that scale?
I mean, commercially, like I'm pretty honest, and someone sort of criticized me in the week where I said, I don't think the fight was as big as Haney against Loma. And that's because, with all respect to Regis, like he's a very good world champion, but he doesn't have the profile of Lomachenko, who's been fighting for years and years in big fights on ESPN. Like, that's just natural. But one, you know, the commercials of the event were very similar to Haney Lomachenko. The gate was probably a little bit smaller, but a lot more people. The pay-per-view won't be dissimilar. Time we've finished. So I think commercially the event was a success. Promotionally, it was a 10 out of 10. And I think perception was a 10 out of 10. You know, there's been a sort of narrative that people spin for a long time about Devin Haney, that the kid don't sell, he's not a star. You know, and people always try and clutch onto straws when there's a really good talent that you might not want to fight. When you go to a city that hasn't had boxing for two decades and sells 16,000 tickets, you know, the haters might say, yeah, but you know, it was $60 in the top tier. So what? Like, nowadays, it seems to be like a boast that the tickets were so expensive. Like, I saw Gervonta come out and go, yeah, well, my tickets were like average price of $400. Oh, great. Well done. Mm-hmm. That's a real great way to connect with the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, so Devin's still building. Devin's still growing. But he's in a great position. And I think for us, commercially, it couldn't have gone much better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you imagine if we would have sold 6,000-7,000, the people coming out the woodwork. Oh, Devin doesn't sell, Matchroom don't know how to promote. All of a sudden you sell out a new arena and it's like, oh, well, the tickets weren't very expensive. Mm. So you can never win. Mm. But I think all round, you know, it was a big success, and a big success for the career of Devin Haney.
You've started to do pay-per-views in the U.S. over the last couple of years, as DAZN has. How do you look at them? Because, look, people still want to see the fights, but I find the piracy is as potent as ever before. I had so many conversations after the Haney fight about people talking to me about it. Then I'd ask them, like, did you buy it? Like, no, I streamed it on X, or I watched it on TikTok, or like, how big a problem is that? Because you want to do pay-per-views to meet the asking price of these fighters, but has piracy made it almost impossible to make it profitable?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you think about it, right, you only had to look across social media and the conversations in that digital space, and particularly across like trending names and words, and it was all over. Like, it was number one, like Andy Cruz would fight, number one trend in the UK, number three trend in America, right? So say that the pay-per-view did 100,000, right? Just pulling a number out of the sky. Do you honestly think only 100,000 people watch that fight? I mean, that is a problem moving forward, and it's only going to take away from the fighters. No one wants to pay additional money to watch a fight. Mm. But as we know, the only way that you can make the big fights and the real fights in boxing is via pay-per-view. Mm. That fight, I don't mind saying it, I think it was a borderline pay-per-view. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It was one that maybe could have sat on subscription. Well, actually not, because of the financials. But is it pay-per-view? Is it not pay-per-view? And I think that's always a conversation we could have. The only way we could make that fight was to make it pay-per-view, and I'm glad we did. So piracy is a big problem. In the UK, actually, it's becoming a lot more of a unlawful act, you know, and actually an act that comes with imprisonment and heavy fines and stuff like that. And I think sports need to act on it, really, and need to be careful, because it's only taking the money, actually, out of the fighters' pockets. Mm. So we've got to do all we can to protect that.
There are people...
But I think, by the way, the price point is probably the biggest problem in America. America's become very used to quite an expensive pay-per-view price point. I would actually like to see that price point come down over time, and I think that would help. I mean, it has in many fights, but I think that will really help on the piracy.
There are people in the building that night live streaming it on their phone. I was walking past on my way around the arena, just live streaming the event. So we're trying
to stop that. It's difficult to police, but
it's very difficult to police. It's been that way for years. I want to ask you about Devin and his options domestically and internationally. Last few days, we've seen a lot of back and forth between Devin and Tank Davis on social media. Bill Haney and Calvin Ford hopping on Instagram lives, talking to each other. Is that a makeable fight between Devin Haney and Tank Davis?
I think, with my experience, looking at the animosity, looking at the backwards and forwards, and he said this, and you said that, and this sparring, and I don't see that fight getting made next, in all honesty. If it does, fantastic. It's a great fight. But I just feel like there's so much like, well, you don't sell. Well, my tickets are more expensive. Well, I did this pay-per-view. You did that pay-per-view. I mean, I heard someone say Devin deserves 15 or 20% in the pot of that pie. How? I mean, he was the undisputed lightweight champion, moved up, just won the WBC world title. Has he historically sold as big as Tank? No, but he hasn't been around in those big fights as long as Tank. Now, people keep talking about the face of boxing. You have to put Devin Haney up there in that conversation. Mm-hmm. He's 31-0. He's a young man. Image-wise, you know, from a role model standpoint as well, he's everything that we actually need for US boxing. So, I don't know. Is it 50-50? Maybe not. Is it 60-40? Mate, like, it's around those numbers. But I can't see Tank and the team giving Devin that kind of respect at the moment. So if I'm Devin Haney, I think what you do is you stay active and you just keep ticking up the value, ticking up the meter, being in big fights, beating people. You know, I mean, the Conor Benn one is a weird fight, but when you start thinking about it, that gives Devin an opportunity maybe to go to the UK, sell out a big arena in the UK. You know, there's other fights around the world for him. I like the Matias fight as well. I think it's a tough fight. You got Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, natural fight for Devin Haney. You know, could he go over to, I don't know, Australia and defend against Liam Paro again? Like, he has so many options, Devin Haney. And I think if Bill and Devin remain smart and remain active, I think they're in a wonderful position. Bill is smart enough to know that outpricing yourself or having an inflated opinion of your value will lead to inactivity, right? Because I've seen it so many times. I'm not fighting for that. You know, I'm worth this. I'm worth that. Next thing, you've been out for a year. Like, Devin can fight in March. He can fight in the summer. And he can fight in the winter. And if I was Bill and Devin, and we'll be having these conversations, I'd be mapping out my year now. I'd go, right, Ryan Garcia in March. Then we fight Giovante. Or then we fight Teofimo. What a year that would be. And by the way, if he won those fights, he's pound for pound number one. He's the biggest star in the sport by a mile. So he's got time on his side. And Devin and Bill remain very, you know, some of the last remaining, dare I say, sensible people in the game. And sometimes when I say that, people think, oh yeah, well, Eddie, you're just trying to get the fighters for, you know, the cheapest you can. Not really. I'm trying to get the fighters for the right price for the business and the commercial business of the fight. That's all. At least Devin and Bill understand the numbers. They can read a balance sheet. They could, like, and not just pull a number from somewhere and me going, how? Like, Chris, that is the biggest conversation. Like, and it's like, and the problem is now, obviously, with the Middle East influx as well, sometimes that number that they ask for, they end up getting. Do you know what I mean? But, like, on a normal, common sense basis, I can just show you the figures for the show and say, this is how it looks. So what do you want to do? Well, you know, that's ridiculous. Well, it's not ridiculous. How's it ridiculous? You know, so most big fights, someone loses money, whether it's the promoter, whether it's the broadcaster, never the fighters.
Yeah.
But that's just the way the business is. It's a wild game.
The Conor Benn is the fight you've been talking about the most over the last few days. How realistic is that?
The problem with Conor, I think Conor can go on and definitely become a world champion at 147. Obviously, with the experience he's had over the last, well, which won't be far off, 2 years coming soon, like, he's also young and fairly inexperienced. He wants to fight Boots Ennis. He wants to fight Devin Haney. He wants to fight Gervonta Davis. Mm. But I also feel like he's going to get better and better. So I don't mind him taking a few fights to bridge that gap. But at the same time, he realises the paydays that are out there, the opportunities are out there. I don't mind the Devin fight. Like, I'm not mad on the Boots fight because I think Boots is a big 147 and I think he might be pound for pound top three already. I think Devin might be pound for pound, but he is a lightweight coming up to 140, coming up to 147, and he's not a massive puncher. I think that's actually a really, really fun fight. But I would also, part of me would like to see Conor have one or two before he's in with a Devin or a Boots Ennis.
You did not and have not been able to get that Eubank fight over the line. That fight feels snake-bitten at this point. Like, I mean, weeks ago, it just seemed like the venue was the problem. Then you got that resolved, and now Chris Eubank is moving on
to some
IBO title fight. Like, what?
Like, I mean, pulls a number out of the sky, and I'm just like, how? Well, it's the biggest fight. You said it's the biggest fight in the history of British boxing. Mate, I'm a promoter. What do you want me to say? It's not that big a fight. I mean, it is a big fight, but a lot of the times, you know, on pay-per-view upside, you have to back yourself. If you think that, then no problem. You'll get you'll actually hit your number. But we can't put guarantees in for numbers that we might not hit. We know it's a huge pay-per-view, but you can't just have a conversation where you say, well, it does a million buys. Mm-hmm. Well, does it? Okay, well, if it does a million buys, congratulations. You're actually going to get more than your number. Mm-hmm. So surely, if you back yourself to do a million, we're in, right? Mm. Oh, no, you've got to pay me up front for the million buys. How? Like, I don't want to do a fight where I lose $3 or $4 million. What's the point of that? So, Conor signed. Calla was all in. But Chris Eubank Jr. wasn't. And it's so frustrating, you know, when you're having I'm saying, like, what are you going to do? What do you mean? Oh, I've got loads of options. No, you haven't. Nowhere near at this kind of money. Like, he's going to end up taking a fight for a quarter of what we offered him against maybe the IBO champion at middleweight. I mean, Conor Bennett is a welterweight. Like, it's just bizarre, but it's like ego, it's stupidity, it's a lack of common sense. But mostly, it's someone in your ear who is a complete clown and has no idea what they're talking about. Welcome to the world of boxing.
So next week, you're in Saudi Arabia, Day of Reckoning. You can watch that live on DAZN pay-per-view. The reporting this week out of ESPN is that AJ Wilder is a done deal. Can you comment on any of that?
Yeah, it's incorrect. You know, I think when people talk about, like, done deals, a done deal is when you sign the contract. Mm-hmm. You know, there's terms agreed, and that can stem across the financials. Look, we've agreed financials for this fight about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. We never got to sign a contract. And since then, there have been fresh talks, and they're going very well. But there is no fight, there is no contract signed. However, if AJ beats Otto Wallin, and if Deontay Wilder beats Joseph Parker, I do believe we'll get that fight. Now, whether we're in a position to announce that after the fight or whatever, I can't tell you, because right now, there's conversations, they're not moving like a steam train, because we're kind of just, you know, I don't really want to go to AJ at this point. We've been here before, you know, especially before the Andy Ruiz fight. And it's like, mate, just to let you know, here's the final draft of the contract. I know you're fighting Otto Wallin in 48 hours, but don't worry about that. Have a little route. Can I sit down with you and go through these terms? But we've also got AJ's blessing to make the fight and to do what's right by him. So I want to kind of keep that removed from him, but also plan his career with 258, his management company. And I do believe, if both fighters win, I do believe you'll see that fight in the spring.
How anxious are you going into this fight against Otto Wallin, who's a very credible guy?
Yeah,
you know, gave Tyson
anxious.
Fury a tough fight and has been active over the course of the last year and a half.
I was anxious when AJ boxed Jermaine Franklin. I was anxious when AJ boxed Robert Hellenius. Like, I mean, it's the heavyweight division. And you know that Otto's full of confidence. He's talking very well. He's an accomplished fighter. He's coming off a big win against Gassiev in Russia. It's a southpaw. It's tricky. It's 6 weeks prep. I mean, it's all like, you know, you start to, but I'm getting fantastic feedback from the camp, you know, and if AJ does what he's been doing and AJ believes in himself and AJ's aggressive, he'll knock Otto Wallin out. And I think it'll be a major statement.
You, this event in Saudi Arabia is going to be very lucrative for Anthony Joshua, lucrative, I'm sure, for Matchroom, for the fighters that are involved. How do you navigate, though, fighters that want to fight in Saudi, but there aren't dates in Saudi? You want the Saudi money and don't want to settle for the money that might be somewhere else.
I don't think, and this might be contrary to the vision of His Excellency, I don't see there being, 10, 12 shows a year there. I see it working around the weather, the tourism, the seasons, the Riyadh season, etc. And I think what I've noticed about sport in Saudi is you have to understand these guys are huge fans. You know, His Excellency, who gets a lot of name drops because he's doing amazing things, but also he's actually a hardcore fight fan. Mm-hmm. Right? To put it into perspective, when you see people like Jai Oppertaia on the card, he watched Jai Oppertaia's last fight and went, I love it. He's great. Let's bring him to Saudi. There's not necessarily and I think there will be a more advanced plan for boxing, but right now it just feels to me like they just want to bring their perception of the best fighters and the most entertaining fighters to the kingdom. So I don't think you're going to see super featherweight world championships and, you may do on the undercards, but I don't think fighters should hedge their bets to sit out for a year and hope that they're going to get a phone call. Do you know what I mean? I think they're going to be in the market for the big fights. They're going to be a market for the big names. And every now and again, someone's going to get lucky because someone watched someone who they think's great and entertaining. So it's a pretty wild world. But, you look at the fight. I mean, that card, you could have lost four fights off that card. Easy, right? And probably saved yourself several million on the... But, there's some random stuff and there's some incredible stuff and then there's huge names. And it's just, it's amazing to be a part of. It really is.
All right, let's talk about Sonny Edwards, Bam Rodriguez on Saturday. Not for the ring title record. I actually sided with you last night when, I read the transcript that Doug Fisher posted out there. I get some of the arguments, but it's very clear that this is number one versus number two in the flyweight division.
I love the Ring Magazine belt. And what I love about the Ring Magazine belt, first is there's no sanction fees, but also there's no politics, right? So I get rules. But for me, rules are in place with governing bodies so that other people are protected, right? So it's a vacant belt, number one, right? Julio Cesar Martinez is not fighting. He's not going to fight anytime soon. He's not going to fight anybody.
You had to have laughed a little bit when Julio Cesar Martinez bowed out yet again.
I know. So therefore,
you've experienced that.
He's not in the running to fight for the title, right? There is not one person in the world who doesn't think this is 1v2. No one. You could ask any fight fan in the world. That's the frustrating thing because what they're saying is, yeah, but who has Bam beaten at flyweight? And it's like, well, he just beat the number one in the WBO, who's actually better than anybody Julio Cesar Martinez has beat in the last 3 years. I don't know, right? But also, he's beaten Rungvisai. He's beaten Quadras. Yeah, but that was up at super feather. But they're all they've all boxed at flyweights. Bam's a light flyweight coming up to super flyweight. And I just people have got to stop being so anal. Excuse my French. It's like, not who cares, but guys, and that's what's so frustrating. I'm still hoping, sitting here, that they are going to message me and go, just to let you know, we all got on the phone and we said, you're right. But they can't do that now because it's Eddie Hearn's worn you down and you've made a decision against the committee.
Martinez's exit gives them a little bit
But that's why I went back. Yeah. That's why I went back because I've been turned down twice. I went back last week for another go. And they turned me down again, right? And this was my excuse to go, guys, and I like to get it into the forums and I like to see the support. And the support was massive. If you read the hundreds of comments, it was there wasn't one going. There was a few saying, I get the rules, but come on. So as we sit here at 11:51 a.m. on weighing day, I'm waiting for Doug Fisher to go, great news, Eddie. You got it. We hope.
So
I doubt.
This fight... Do you have a read on it at all? I mean, Sonny is such an excellent boxer. Bam is such an excellent boxer puncher. I can see Sonny winning 11-1.
Yeah.
I can see Bam getting a stoppage in the sixth round. Yeah. There's so many variations I can see. How do you see it?
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, we were just talking before we started about the mind games that Sonny plays and the confidence that he breeds. that can have an effect on you. Now, will it have an effect on Bam? Maybe not. Mm. But the problem in this kind of fight is if you start, sulking's the wrong word. If you come into this fight frustrated and angry, and you get six rounds in, and you're punching out, and you can't cut this guy off, and you're losing rounds, the head can go down very quickly, mm-hmm. right? And before you know it, you're in round 10 and 11. I mean, it's a bit like with Regis last week. You kind of felt like that period between like 7 and 11 was like, you've got to do something. You're losing every round. But it was like momentum, head goes down. Oh, every time you try and make a move or try and feint, you're getting 3 or 4 and it's like, oh. And I can see that, but I can also see Bam being good enough to cut the ring off, to work the body, to slow him down. So the only thing I don't see is a Sonny Edwards victory by stoppage.
Yeah.
And listen, I do think he punches harder than people think, but if I'm Bam in this fight, I'm starting this fight at a red hot pace. You cannot afford to be 4-5. You get to 5-6 rounds against Sonny Edwards and you're 4-5 down. Mate, it's a long, long road back.
And for some reason, Sonny tends to slow down in those middle, late rounds. Look at the Felix Alvarado fight. Mm. I thought he was going to win 12-0 after the sixth round of that fight. Kind of got caught in those middle rounds, pressed against the ropes. That's the kind of thing Bam's got to take advantage
of. But also, if you're Sonny, like, he talks a lot about the judges and stuff like that. The reality is
he's talked a lot about
but his style, right, he's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Mm. And it's impossible to select judges or to, you know, to say, oh, this judge likes this. Mm. Like, you've got to look at fights like, I mean, I know it's a lower profile fight, but even like Maylene Rivas against Erica Cruz, right? Maylene Rivas won that fight. But Cruz pushed the action every single, and as the rounds went on, Rivas was doing so little, Cruz weren't even landing, but she was throwing shoulders, arms, like hitting around the butt, like. And you've got to be really careful. If you're not active enough with Sonny's style, don't be surprised and don't moan when it's a close fight and someone says, this guy forced the fight. This guy was the pressure fighter.
18-10.
This guy threw a punch. Yeah. You know, and it's like, people talk about punches landed. There's also a lot to be said about punches thrown, right? Doesn't have to always land clean. But if in the eye of a judge, someone that's active, someone that's throwing, someone that's trying to win the fight, it's dangerous when you're fighting that other style.
Last thing for you. You've been talking about Katie Taylor's next fight. You've been kind of focused on making the third fight against Chantel Cameron. I was talking to Jake Paul this week prior to his fight on Friday. And I asked him, I said, look, it sure sounds to me like the rematch between Amanda and Katie is, if not dead, on life support. Jake's response was, it's Eddie Hearn's fault, basically. Like, give, you know, basically, give us an offer, give us a date, we'll sign, and we'll do
it. Well, I mean, that's the most, that's completely absurd. Like, give us an offer, we'll sign. Of course they won't. You know, they want an amount of money for that fight. Again, it's the same thing that we talked about earlier. We've got our opinion of what that purse is worth. They've got their opinion. And if we can reach a middle ground, we'll make the fight. You know, people talk about 12 threes. The fight is for the undisputed lightweight world championship. The WBC have their rules. It's 10 twos, right? I don't care if it's 10 twos, 12 threes, 15 threes. It doesn't really matter. But the rules to make this fight undisputed is 10 twos. And that's what it'll be. So if she's not prepared to fight 10 twos, which she's already said she's not because she's vacated her own title, we can't make the fight. I'm not making this fight and not having it undisputed. We'll lose our belt if we don't put the WBC title on the line. So that, firstly, that's that. So if you tell us you're never fighting 10 twos again, no problem. You won't be fighting Katie Taylor for the undisputed lightweight world championship. If we can overcome that, then we talk money. Amanda Serrano is a fantastic fighter. She's a legend of women's boxing, and it's a fantastic opponent for Katie Taylor's next fight outdoors in Ireland. So I'm sure we will at some point speak to Nikisa and try and see if there's some middle ground to make that fight.
All right, Eddie, good luck on Saturday.
Cheers, mate.
And when we come back, my conversation with Sonny Edwards. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car.
And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
All right, Sonny Edwards is here, 112-pound champion, fresh off the press conference. You can still hear the noise from the press conference out there. Something triggered you during that press conference. Something Bam said, something was going, because that it has been largely a respectful-ish promotion.
It was more. It's more stuff he's been saying outside. Yeah, I'm reactive and I deal with people in front of me. He was being very cool. Every time I see him, I make a beeline for him and I shake his hand, shake his hand, shake his hand. Even in the desert, shake his hand, shake his hand, shake his hand. And then yesterday was different. They walked past. I tried letting on to them, like I weren't there, like I was a ghost. They all walked past. I was on the way to a wake up. Pardon me, but I'm also hearing that. He's telling people in interview form, I don't think Sonny's sure of himself. He, you know, one minute he's saying stuff, one minute he's... Okay, me just having a little buzz on Twitter to get people excited and say, hey, someone tell Bam I'm going to beat his ass and that his trainer looks like the fat kid from Up. Like, that's just me having, like, a little bit of banter. Like, that's lighthearted, I think. That's more for the fans. That's not nothing personal, yeah? But then when he wants to say, you know, he says a lot online, but not saying nothing personal. Are you crazy? I will come up in your face, get up in your groin. We can have it right now because where I'm from, that's how we deal with things. Mm-hmm. He's clearly not that way. Maybe because he's from an open carry state and, you know what I mean, they hold their mouth a little bit more. But where I'm from, yeah, we get cracking at any given moment's notice. I'm not scared of no man. No man on this earth puts fear into me, let alone someone that's 5'3" and weighs the same as me. Do you understand? So... that was already triggering. And then, you know, they lie about things. Like Robert Garcia has not come here only because he doesn't want to hear what I have to say. He didn't come last time to build the thing. So they're trying to keep everything very subdued. Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep everything very quiet. They're trying to make sure this event no one's ever heard of it, where, like, that's disrespectful. You got me all the way over here and you're not even trying to, like, promote the fight. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been totally on to me to do any sort of promotion. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they had a public meet and greet, and either one of two things happened at O'Reilly's Auto Parts last week. Either Bam turned up and no one else turned up, yeah, because there weren't not one picture, there weren't not one post, there weren't not one nothing. Not on the stories of them, not on the stories of anyone, yeah. Or he turned up and no one turned up, or he refused to do another media. So it was one of the two. He said he was there, so I guess no one turned up.
You've been waiting a long time for this particular opportunity to get a unification fight, to get a big fight, to headline a major fight, even here in the U.S. What's kind of your energy like right now? Because you've been active on Twitter, you know, since you got to the U.S. You're attacking Snack, his conditioning program.
We know about that. We know what that means. Like Geronimo Davies said yesterday, let's get this shit out of boxing, man, because it's bad for it. People getting away of all sorts, man. Mm-hmm. Trying to get away of legalized murder. But the difference of me is I don't fight with my body. Mm-hmm. I fight with my mind. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. They can prepare their body all they want, yeah, but when he's got a weak, feeble, fragile mind like he's clearly got, okay, he's the quietest man. All I had to do was say one or two things and I had him. I had him. He was there 15 minutes still looking at me like, that's my domain. You were sitting over there away from your family a minute ago, bro. Now I'm dragging you out. I'm dragging you out. See, if I wanted to do that, I could have done that at any given time. But me, I don't agree when people are saying, oh, Sonny's good at mind games, because it's not mind games. Mm-hmm. I'm just me. Like, this is me. I'm confident. I'll go off in front of anyone if they give me a reason to. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how we are. Like, you only had to look at what was going off in the background and our team was involved. Like, we're not scared of no one. We're not bullies. We're not, but we stand our ground and we firm it against anyone on this earth.
Mm-hmm. You said just moments ago when you were up on stage that, you know, you're going to win 9-10 rounds clean. Like, why are you so confident that you're going to be able to do that against a guy like this?
Because when I stand in front of them, control the range, as they come forward to do anything, edge back and encounter the adjustment, boring for the fans, very easy to score, and very easy for me to do. So when I want to do that, I can do it over and over again. Mm-hmm. I usually count 7, 8, 9 rounds where I've done that. And then I disguise the action and closeness and that they had a bit of success in making them work on my arms, making them... I'll stand in the corner for a whole round against the biggest puncher in the division. Highest knockout ratio ever at flyweight. And I was just stand there and let him throw. Because I actually like to have a fight. Mm. If you come down and watch me spar every single fight, every single sparring camp, you will not recognize me as a fighter. Mm. I promise you, like, you wouldn't. But when I get here, I know it's more about entertaining, but at the same time, what affects my life is winning or losing. Mm-hmm. And that makes winning very easy for me.
So what happens in those moments? Because I've watched probably your last half dozen fights in the last couple of days. When you're on the move and you're sticking and moving, you're almost impossible. Like, to your
I'm
point,
impossible to hit.
You're impossible to hit. In
if I don't care about
clean,
my success,
these rounds are cleanly scored for you. Then,
but I can't do 12 of those. I can.
Okay.
But if I do 12 of those, it gets boring. So I'll
is
do.
Is that what you're worried about coming in this fight? Because
Okay. And this is one of those fights, like my Maruti fight, that I wasn't worried about that. Yeah. And then obviously that was our masterclass, and I've done this. And trust me, no matter what anyone says, yeah, Maruti is the hardest ring I've ever been in, mm-hmm. ever. Not just competing as a professional. I'm talking any sort of sparring. I'm sort of like anything. Yeah. Maruti was a fantastic fighter with a very good engine and very good with his feet at closing down. He was like the best onward front foot pressure, not giving you a time to react or recover. That was my first 12 round world title fight I did then. And that gave me such a boost. Yeah. So when people want to try and discredit that win against a legitimate, the world number one, 13 years unbeaten, top, most avoided fighter no one wanted to unify against him, fighter, like, for me it's laughable because I know what ring I was in that night and I haven't been in one since and I hadn't been in one before. Do you know what I mean? And I've seen Bam going forward and he is not a Maruti. He hasn't got that same grinding, don't put a step wrong, constantly cutting off the ring at a good, slow, rhythmic pace where you don't have a time to rest because as soon as you're out, he's already on the encroach and he's already on the approach and he gets there in a way where he's always ready to throw and it's hard to hit him even in between. And I've done it against him when I was a boy. I was 25. I'm 27, turning on 28 now. And now I've got more confidence, more belief, more strength, more maturity. And I'm an animal now. Mm. People don't realize if I'm getting told, Sonny, go and knock him out, I can do that as well.
Do you think this is going to be an easy fight?
I don't think it's going to be an easy fight because he's a good fighter. Like, and he's got the most prolific cheaters behind him, giving him his nutrition advice. So it should be a fucking treacherous fight. It should be. But I'm that good and I'm that clever and I'm that astute and I got that quick enough reactions and I make the right decision every time in that instinctive moment. Like, yeah, it won't be easy. No fight's easy. I can have 12 rounds against a bomb and it's still not easy. It's hard on the body, do you know what I mean? But it's a fight that I'm very, very comfortable with, a fight that I'm very, very confident in, a fight that I wanted and made happen. And he's trying to say, oh, I wanted this, I quoted. No, you did none of those things because the man in between us knows you're lying. Do you know what I mean? The man in between us knows that I'd agreed for months and we was on and on and on. And then we sat there in a Viano the same day that he promised me those basketball tickets they had to cough up out for, yeah? All I'm saying is he was telling me what their side was saying and he was looking at super flyweight. They do want to fight you. They're going to have to offer more money. They're trying to make him. They're putting this as the only option because it's what the zone wanted and yada, 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 yada.
I remember
they didn't want to be here.
When I saw you in Orlando, One of the things you said to me was like, I need my basketball tickets. And then you
did. See?
You did.
And
you
he'd
did.
Already agreed. But what happened was, hopefully Eddie's not listening in. What happened was, yeah, they was meant to do the fighting.
Right,
this show
at, the other
at that arena.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when they didn't, yeah, it became a much harder conversation to have, saying, oh, can we get a couple of free tickets, yeah? So they weren't free. They were either a stipulation or very expensive.
Well, you were at an event that is now being talked about when Draymond Green punched.
Yeah, I was there. And then I don't know, was he ejected in the second
game.
Or third quarter?
Third quarter, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So just before they announced me to the arena, you know what I mean. So it was a big experience. All my friends were there. Me and Junaid sat right at the front, and yeah, it was a fantastic experience. Even getting recognised and asked for pictures, and I got home, people were messaging me like, "Yo, I'm at the game, champ. Can we come get a picture?" Didn't see them, but yeah, it was big. It was like it was. What it needed to be, and like I said, I didn't want more money to fight in America. I didn't care where it was. Eddie, that's on you. But if we're fighting in America, I want the local team game, whichever one's there. And it just happened to be the Suns versus Golden State, which weren't a bad game to watch. Got to see Steph Curry in the flesh, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? Came for Steph and stayed for Booker. You know what I mean? As Junaid said, I don't want to make out. I coined that one. Yeah, man. It was good, man. It was a real good experience. Something I feel like I deserve. Mm. I'll be wrong.
Last question for you. What are you concerned about in a fight like this? When you look at Bam Rodriguez and you study him, is there anything that
the judges being fair?
I mean, that's a legit. Like I, it sucks to even say that, but it
the
is.
Judges being fair.
It is.
But
legit.
At the same time. I don't know. It depends. It depends who starts pulling the strings, or allegedly, if it happens. I don't know. I think I'm better for boxing. I think I'm better for the profile of the fights. I think this fight's only been made anything what it is because of me. I think if this was a Rodriguez against someone else, like it would just be the same as what it's always been. Oh, yeah, Rodriguez is a good fighter, but no one really cares. I think we've doubled up the attendance of his last home fight, and I guarantee if we had this fight in the UK, it would have been bigger. Mm-hmm. We would have sold out Sheffield Arena. I know for a fact we would have. Mm-hmm. I did 4,000 or 5,000 on my own with no promoter, with no promotion, with an opponent that no one had ever heard of. Yeah, with an undercard that didn't have big ticket sellers on it, had the three fighters I managed that sold about 200 tickets between them. Mm. So I know this fight would have been bigger, so they've probably done a misjustice, really, to the event, putting the way they put it. But like I said, I didn't care. I don't care. I'll fight anyone. I'm not coming to Arizona or fighting him in America. I'm fighting in a boxing ring. I'm fighting in a 20-foot ring, just like I've always been, and I don't care. I've always wanted boxing to take me around the world because of, you know, how the sort of amateur setup was done, and there was their favourites, and that they're still training today, etc., etc. That I'm on my undercard now. Because of all of that, I didn't get my dream of travelling to the Olympics and winning gold and that, and etc. there. But now I use my world title to take me around. I fought in Dubai, I fought here, I fought in Spain, and I'll keep continuing to go wherever the event is deemed biggest. I'm not a promoter, I'm a boxer. I'm one of the best boxers in the world at that. So I'll be here for a very, very long time to come. I'll be boxing until my body gives way. And after that, I'll be using my position I'm already earning as a manager with fighters. I've got champions. I've got prospects signed up to this very company in my stable. And then I'll be training fighters and developing fighters and commentating the shows next to you and punditry in the show. So I'm going to be here for a very, 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 very long time. So maybe that will pay some test and pay some benefit when it comes to the judges, if that is how it goes. Mm-hmm. But now look, I don't care. My identity will never be made or broken by one fight or the decision of three old men scoring a fight. Like, I'm not, like, believe it or not, I'm not mentally that fragile. I know I'm a great fighter. I know I've taken 18 years of hard work and dedication to get here. And I know this is all I want. Regardless, I don't have to just be the champ and just be the man and be undefeated to be happy and exist in boxing. Like, I want to be a part of events that people care about, and I want to be able to, when I want to get back in camp, or when we're fighting again, when we're going to go earn money, and when we're going to go do this, okay, then, boom, and we're going to keep going and going and going. I'm 27, about to turn 28. I've got years left in this game. Unlike Bam, whose brother retired at 27, and Bam, who will probably retire after I beat him, like, they don't love this game. They don't love what it is. Look, where are they now? At home making weight already, like I said. I don't know why you're staying on the stage for too long. Like, you've got some weight to shift, fat boy. Going back into the gym with your sweatsuit on. So I'm here, like I always have been, enjoying myself, smiling, engaging with the fans, speaking to people, being human. I don't think I'm no superstar. I don't think I'm nothing special just because I can fight a lot better than the average human being. Do you know what I mean? It's I just love it. I experience so much gratitude in my day to day that I'm 27. I've got two beautiful kids that I can provide for in a great way and make them proud of me. And I'm doing it all doing something that I've loved doing since I was a kid. I've never done anything else. I never had a job. Okay, I went to university. I got all my qualifications and that. But I'm blessed that all I have to do, train in the gym for 1 or 2 hours a day, go home, sit around and chill, wait for fight night to come up, get in the ring, put on a show, and then go and enjoy myself again. Like, my life is so great. You couldn't take this away from me. You understand?
Well, good luck on Saturday, Sonny. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Chris.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Eddie Hearn and Sonny Edwards for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, I love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.